You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio. We're on your radio dial at 95.9 megahertz, and we're online at kgvm.org. And I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. It's time for the local musician spotlight here on KGVM. Every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have a local artist or band into the studio to talk about music and perform. And I'm really happy tonight to welcome Dylan Thomas here to the studio with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here, Bob.
Yeah, this will be awesome. I think I first ran across you down at Cactus Records for the Record Store Day performance this year, and that was a lot of fun.
Totally. So, yeah, no, it was awesome.
So I wonder if you could just kind of tell us about how you got started in music, how long you've been doing this, and, you know, kind of your journey to get here.
Oh, it's been a journey. so I started, I think I started taking piano lessons from a teacher in Bozeman. I grew up here. Technically, I was born in Denver, but I moved here when I was very young. Can't quite remember. And then grew up, took piano lessons, I think, at 6, and did that for a little bit. And then I think I switched to drums, actually, when I was in the... I would say 7th grade, so middle school. It was awesome. It was a good change, but I never realized I carried something over from piano to drums, and I was like, oh, I just need to change my instrument and such. I've been playing drums since for I think about 15 years now. I have been taking lessons from I don't know if you know Michael Blessing by any chance, but that was actually my stepdad. So I know full circle.
Yeah, nice.
He started me off really young. I took lessons for about 2 years, 3 years, and then went for it there. When I graduated in Bozeman High, I think that was 2016. I moved straight to New York. I think the month after, and started working. I originally had plans to go to, I got accepted to Berkeley and Columbia and New School. And New School was like my top pick for sure. They only offer one degree, and it was just jazz performance. And that's kind of what I was into at the time. And they, you know, that seemed like the best option for me. So I auditioned there and I got in, but I didn't get the financial needs that I needed, I guess.
Yeah,
let's just say. And decided not to go, but I still moved. And then, just started working in stages and venues, doing like stagehand work at Baby's All Right, Transpecos, a couple other venues in the Brooklyn and Manhattan area. While I was still doing drums and stuff, and that's kind of when I moved there originally, I realized I was very into Bob Dylan. I was kind of like my big go-getter for sure with in terms of musicality and what he had to say. So I really wanted to start writing my own music. At the time, I'd just been playing as a jazz drummer around town. Like I don't think it's still up in Colonel Black's. Had like a great Sunday night jam with a big band, and I think they moved to the Eagles now, but
I think that's right. Yeah.
But I used to go when I think that was my first gig when I was 12 years old. I used to go and sit in, and I don't think if I was allowed in there necessarily, but I would sneak in and go and tap the drummer and ask if I could play a couple, and it was always great. So
cool.
So I kind of gave that up when I moved to New York. I decided I wanted to start writing my own stuff. And with that came a lot of learning how to record, learning how to, you know, write music, not just, you know, play the drums and play piano. So it was very a step in the direction that required me to be well-rounded instead of very, like, niche as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. I was in New York for 4 years, and I came back in October of last year. Now I'm...
Do you think you're going to stay here? You kind of split your time back and forth, or how do you think that's going to work going forward?
It's really back and forth. I'm playing a show actually on Friday of this week, actually Thursday. That's in Rockwood, and that's in a great venue in the Lower East Side. But I currently have an apartment in Bozeman. I have an apartment in Brooklyn, but I'm actually moving out of there.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, leases and such. But it's been really back and forth. My partner, Steven Steffen, who's also a great musician and such. I do a lot of the production work for her. Mm-hmm. She's from New York, and that's where we met. And then we have a lot of ties back there. So it's always some place that I'm kind of like, can never quite get my foot out of the door, and I don't think I ever will. So.
Yeah. But kind of be around here at least part of the time for the foreseeable future.
Totally. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. No, Bozeman's great. I grew up here. I love being here. Funny enough, I'm not that much of a skier, so I would say it's one of those things where I just enjoy just being here. I hike a little bit. There's a new music venue, the Elm, that's opening up, and that's exciting, knowing that, you know, more kind of cultural aspects can happen in the town, as opposed to, you know, when I was a kid, it wasn't quite a cow town, I would say, but it was a little bit like, you know, it was getting there. I think it's great that there's more options for young people to do things here that they enjoy rather than, I remember having to go to Colorado or Salt Lake or something to go see a good show. So,
yeah, it's been kind of interesting, the genesis of the music scene here. Like when I started in college, kind of in the mid-80s, there was a lot of music going on. And, you know, there were some touring bands coming through, nothing really big, though. But it really seemed like somewhere after that, I don't know, maybe in the late 90s, that the local venues just about disappeared, and there was hardly anything for a long time. So it's great to see it coming back, like some of the bigger places and mid-sized places, and then, you know, just kind of some of the smaller spots for local people. It seems like in the last few years, the last year notwithstanding,
exactly.
You know, we're really starting to pop up, and it was pretty fun getting to see, you know, all of the local talent having places to play and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting with the Elm, you know, having some of the not huge acts, but some bigger acts coming through is going to be a nice mix. So it was interesting. We had Stephen on last week, and we were talking about songwriting, and she was talking about Bob Dylan and Lady Gaga and stuff.
Yep.
It was just like, it was a really interesting conversation about some of the notions and some of the kind of, maybe biases isn't quite the word, but, you know, people will kind of pick a direction and get pointed in a direction. And sometimes it's hard to like open your mind up. Like if you like Bob Dylan and some of the lyrics, and like, well, here's this other performer that writes some pretty, like some pretty deep lyrics in some of the songs. But it's, you know, a different musical style that might be off-putting right up front, right? It's like, oh, I don't like that kind of music. Or conversely, like, if you like that kind of music and somebody said, well, you should listen to Bob Dylan, it's like, yeah, you know, 60s, Bob, I don't want to do that.
No, and I mean, yeah, no, you're totally right. I mean, there was a portion of my childhood when I really loved, I mean, the first bands I listened to were, I would say, Erasure, In Excess, Tears for Fears. I loved Depeche Mode. To this day, you know, kind of those sort of bands. And then when I got into drums, I was quickly kind of, I wouldn't say like I forced myself to get in this mental state, but it sort of turned into where I only let myself listen to, you know, Miles Davis, Coltrane, Art Pepper. You know, I love Elvin Jones, Philly Joe Jones, some of my favorite drummers. And that was kind of like the only thing I let myself listen to. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people I was around as well were very like, that's all you can listen to. So it was nice when I sort of let myself go, when I got out of high school and sort of took a breath. You know, I was pushing myself pretty hard. I was one of those kids that wanted to do the, you know, the Grammy band, the Veil, all the kind of honors groups. And so I was sending in auditions. I was in a great quartet with Craig Hall, who's a really great guitarist in town. And I would also say he's more of a mentor as well for me. But Yeah, me, Luca Rodoni, who's a trumpet player, Colleen Schmidt, who is another bass player, and then Ryan Garnsey. We were all in a group, and then Craig as well. And we played, I think it was for like 3 years while I was in high school. That was kind of what I did after I got out of school. I went over and we had rehearsal, and we did a little tour, quote unquote, you know. Yeah. There was like, I think we played 3 different jazz festivals in Idaho and Wyoming, and it was great. But yeah, it was that sort of time I was like, that's all I'm listening to. Like, I'm not listening to anything else. And then, right. So, except Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
That was just that one exception. So, but yeah, it was great to kind of get out of that and find, you know, dig into those artists that I listened to when I was, you know, in elementary, middle school, and I didn't know really what they were saying, you know,
right.
Especially Depeche Mode. And I love Nirvana, and I listened to them when I was a kid too. And just kind of feeling like it's okay to, you know, just take on other music. I know,
right.
I think if you look at my phone on my playlist, the first 10 songs would be, you know, you would see Chopin, you would probably see Nirvana, you would probably see a little bit of Depeche Mode as well, and then Kid Cudi. I love Kid Cudi, so
yeah.
I think everyone should be open to as much as they are willing to put in their ears.
Yeah. I think that it's weird how sometimes we understand things but we forget them, at you know, how widely some of them apply, like, you know, just the idea of diversity. And why diversity is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's good in a lot of different ways and a lot of different applications. And I think it's definitely true in music. It's
yeah.
Like, you know, I have a hard time imagining just listening to one genre, kind of limiting myself that much. It's like, man, there's just way too much interesting music out there that,
I mean, I can
comes
only
from
eat,
all different directions.
Yeah, I can only eat pizza once a week, so
yeah, that's right.
You
yeah.
know,
yeah, if you had to eat it every day, it's like
yeah. So
cool.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's great to you know, especially now with iTunes, Spotify. I'm doing a feature with a new app called Singbird, and they're a collaboration, not really collaboration, but a conglomeration more so of the iTunes/Discord app, if you're familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a platform where artists can curate a playlist live while their listeners are listening. So it's quote unquote a DJ service.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, for example, I would log on, anyone that follows me gets a notification, they log on, and then I can send them messages like, hey, I'm going to play a little of the 90s or something, or I'm going to play my music.
Uh-huh.
And it's very personal. It's very, one-on-one. So, but yeah, I just wanted to shout them out as well. But, I just think that it's awesome having so many options as well. You know, I'm not that old, but I remember having CDs and being very like, I only have $10. Which one
yeah.
do I get?
Yeah.
Yep.
It is. It's in some sense, I think, kind of a blessing and a curse that there's so much of it out there. It's easily available. It's awesome. It's also daunting sometimes to try to find places to start even. It's like, man, there's so much stuff. Where do I even begin? But I don't know. That's probably not that hard. Just like randomly pick something, see if you like it. If
yeah.
you don't, move on.
No, totally.
But, yeah. You know, I think that, you know, one thing from the musician perspective, it's great to have these ways that you can potentially reach a lot of people pretty easily. But, you know, on the other hand, the financial and reimbursement structure is so dismal. It's like,
yes.
It's like, well, you know, that's kind of the horrible downside of it. So,
yeah,
it's hopefully some of that will improve. I don't know. But
yeah, I've been seeing a lot of, I mean, I bet this is true anywhere, but when I was in Brooklyn, especially during COVID, I saw a lot of DIY, not necessarily this is what people should have been doing during that time, but I saw a lot of people taking that opportunity to really showcase themselves, you know, because I think during that time, I mean, it's still, you know, the backlash of 2020 and 2021, but I would say during that time, there was a good amount of heavyweight performance that just did not play a show for 2 years. You know, you couldn't
yeah.
see Justin Bieber or Drake, but what you could see is the local bands, and that's all you could see,
right?
Whether you like it or not. And that was a really good incentive, especially in Brooklyn when I was at the time. It was very, you know, it was almost like, this is better than paying $100 or so to go see someone that I, you know, I just know they're famous. So
right.
It was very like, yeah, it was a great learning experience for everyone to know that there's great music just right around the door in any sort of setting, you know.
Right.
So
yeah, I hope that, you know, I hope that we're putting the whole COVID thing in the rearview mirror soon.
Yes.
But I hope that some of those realizations and learnings that people maybe had last year and this year, that they don't forget them, you know, when things kind of get back to normal. It's like, hey, you know, we discovered last year that we need to be willing to support musicians if we like music. And I think that was a good thing last year that people did. And we need to be open-minded, and we need to look a little bit and find out all of the great things that are right here instead of, like you said, going and looking at the top, you know, the top 10 or top 20 and just only paying attention to that. Well, I wonder if maybe you want to do a couple songs here. Well,
yeah, I'd love to. I'll let it rip. This song's called Bia. Here we go. Don't feel dumb, you're trying hard, babe. Trying hard, babe. But you don't know what it means to sit around at ease. Don't take long, I'll sit and wait for you. Sit and wait for you. And I'll buy another drink. I'll buy a drink. I'll buy a drink. And I know it's you. Walking around looking like they wear tattoos. Woo! All right.
Fly away from all your problems. It won't solve them, but it sure does pass the time and spices up your life. Don't be long, I'll sit a while. I'll sit a while. And we'll fly into the sun, into the sun, into the sun. And I know it's you. Walking around looking like Bill with tattoos. And I know it's you. Walking around looking like Bill with tattoos. Tattoos. Oh, baby, no, 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 baby, no. Woo!
That was called Bia.
Cool.
Thank you.
Nice.
I'm gonna go again with another sort of electronic pop sort of mashup, but yeah, this one's called Snowy Days.
What would you do? Sky came down. Would you catch it as it falls? or would you break it on the ground? What would you say, hey, hey, when my body hits the floor? Would it scare you half to death? Or would you cry and hold me close?
2, 3, 4.
Turn my face away when I'm afraid. Life is scary when you're not ready. Wash away the gray with snowy days. Run away like it's your wedding. Think about the pain, it's excruciating. I don't wanna be alone when everybody's waiting on me. Oh baby, can't you see? I don't worry about the feeling that you're worthless. I know, baby, you're not here, but I feel homeless. And I don't wanna be your lover lonely. Lonely. Turn my face away when I'm afraid. 'Cause life is scary when you're not ready. Wash away the gray with snowy days. And run away like it's your wedding.
So much, thank you, thank you.
So you you wrote the songs and you did all of the backing tracks?
Yeah, I wrote all the music, I wrote all the instrumentals, so to say. I actually also played the drums, the keyboard, the guitar, actually. Unluckily in that song, I'm not much of a guitar player. I can play one note pretty well. And then I recorded at a good friend of mine, Ryan Licotti's house, and he's got a bunch of stuff to use. I've got a bunch of stuff as well. So we kind of leave all our stuff there, and it's a great place to go in. And if I have ideas, I can go and kind of crank them out within an hour or so. I do, for the most part, I do all the, sometimes I need a guitar player, and I do, I am looking for a bass player, but, I think at the same time, I can handle it.
Yeah.
And then I do all the production, mastering and such. I record at Jericho if needed to do vocals. I'm releasing, I just released the single, for Lonely 2. That was last week, and I recorded the vocals at Jericho, and I think that was the only thing I recorded there, just because they have a great selection of microphones and preamps and all that, you know, gear,
yeah,
nerdy stuff, but which I love it, but
it's kind of fun to geek out with some of the really nice mics and preamps and stuff.
That's awesome. They have a great selection, and I'm really good friends with the lead engineer, quote unquote. There, I mean, Jeremiah Slovarp, he's a great friend of mine as well. But Luke Sheeler, who's another great guy, he's there every day at the studio, and he really knows what he's doing. And he helped me record a lot of my stuff. I know he was there for a little bit of Steven's recording of their new EP, and he's just been a great power force man. That is always reliable, and definitely whenever I go over there, he's always there, and I can kind of just knock on the back door and say hi.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Nice. So you just got the just released the single. Are you do you have more material that you're planning to work up into? Are you working for an EP or an album or?
Yeah, I this was only last year. It feels like a long time ago. I put out a 3 separate singles, which now in hindsight probably should have been a little project, like an EP of its own. But yeah, I do. I have another EP coming out. Probably I keep pushing it back because you know everything is a little uncertain right now. But yeah. It's coming out in late August. Hopefully, if not, then we'll see for early September.
Yeah.
Talking to mastering engineers. But it's a little bit of music that I've been working on over the last year or so. Some of it has been easy going, I sit down, I have an idea and it kind of just comes together within an hour. And then some of it, I think some of these songs have taken like upwards of 6 months to get like a single guitar part or like a verse, you know? So, but, I'm really happy with everything and I'm excited. I'm sending it over to Bayonet Records in New Jersey, and they are a great record label with one of my favorite bands, Beach Fossils, who's sort of a surf rock band out of New York, but they're awesome. They'll be hearing from me, that's for sure.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, that's pretty exciting. It's interesting. I was a little too young to really be too much into the whole single thing back when it was 45s. Had some of those when I was a kid, and my sister had some. But, I was kind of more into albums, and it kind of went, a long ways that way. And so I'm not sure what to make of it now with, people are releasing a lot more singles and stuff. And with digital distribution, it's you don't have all of the concerns about the physical medium and the cost and it costs probably about the same to do a 45 to get it distributed as an album. So an album probably made more sense, but with this digital distribution, it's like, well, maybe just doing singles, I don't know. And I think people have different strategies for that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, let me wager my opinion, I guess, on the matter. I love that fact, but I also think that, for me, just the fact that it was really, really, really easy for me to put out a couple singles, and whether or not they were well received, I think for my own sense, as an artist, I think it could have been a little bit more intensive, I guess. And I think the whole art of the album is something that I still really appreciate. And even the art of the EP more so. Just projects in general, something that has been thought through and is cohesive, I guess. And I think it's great to, put out a single and all that. But I think it really speaks to the artist that's putting it out when you put out a good enough body of work to where you get a good sense of who is making it. That it's hit or miss nowadays. I think a lot of music is great, and I've honestly, some of my favorite musicians are from within the last 5 years, and then it's also very saturated commercially. And I think that's an okay thing as well, because that needs to be there always, because then there's always somebody that isn't really digging that deep for music, and it's then that's there for them to assess it. So I really think that the art of making a project is something that people need to, as artists, need to never forget, guess. And that it really can speak mounds and leaps and bounds more so with what you have to say as an artist, instead of just 3 minutes.
I think that's true. You can certainly think of albums that were a collection of 3-minute songs, and there was not really very much of a super text on top of it. But I think that the opportunity to try to take a bunch of different songs, or even a few, and put them together and try to, it gives you that opportunity to tell a bigger story, than than the individual songs can. And I certainly appreciate that, like an album or an EP that's well-crafted and see how things go together and stuff, I think is just an extra dimension and a little extra flavor that I appreciate too. So
awesome. Yeah, definitely. And it speaks to more like, you know, it's one of those things where you can actually, like, you know, you get that rewarding sense at the end as an artist. You're like, ah, yes, like I spent, you could, you know, 2 years, a year, even 6 months, if you're really in the studio all day, you know, making a, you know, 12 track EP, LP, that's very intensive. And that's very, like, you know, from the artists that I love, and from what I know, some of their albums have been like serious, like parts of their life that they're, yeah, like, this is intense, and I really put everything into this, whether I liked it or not, and and I love it. So,
yeah, I think that's true. So, yeah, I guess you got back here, and there really wasn't any local music scene at all the end of last year, and it's. And it was kind of starting to crawl back here, and now I don't know where things are headed, but not in a great direction right now, it seems like. But are you kind of hoping that once things line out a little, that you'll be able to play around? Are you planning to play out around here?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think personally, the bigger, or quote unquote bigger venues here, like the Rialto and Elm, that are very, you know, they've got very high rental rates and such. I think those are great for the artists they're bringing in, but for people like me and such, where I can, you know, I prefer to play in a more suitable place for my pockets.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the newer restaurants and such, the new karaoke bar in town, Happy Box, they're great. They're open very late, which is something that doesn't really happen around here.
Yeah.
I think 1 o'clock on the weekends for food and stuff, and they've got karaoke, but no, I'd love to play there. I'm trying to work something out as a little show there, cool. You know, the karaoke and the live music, but and Cactus Records is awesome. Mike Good is a great guy, and I know he's always trying to look for ways to promote not just, you know, live music, but also records, and
yeah,
you know, and that's another thing, just the commercial aspect of having that tangible thing. So
right, right,
and yeah, and I think honestly anything that comes up, I'd love to be a part of, but you have got a lot of stuff in the works already.
Yeah, nice. So. Yeah, I think that you know, there are more and more places all the time. You know, there's always the filling station. Well, there has always been the filling station. That, you know, I guess who knows what could happen. But, you know, I think there's some other places. People might be able to hear a little bit in the background. Like, we're in the basement of the Labor Temple, and the room upstairs, you know, for a while, like Lotus Eaters and other groups were doing music up there quite often. And I'm hoping that maybe that's making a comeback, or will. And, you know, I think that, like you said, some of the restaurants and stuff are and bars are kind of getting back into that idea of having live music, and
live music without a barrier, I guess,
yeah,
is a good thing. I mean, I think that there's always good music around here, but a lot of it is very censored, and very very sit down music. So I think that's great, but I love a good crowd and everyone jumping and dancing, and I wouldn't say that's what live music should be, but you know, that's what, you know, a good portion of it should be. So.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, because sometimes I think for certain kinds of music, I'm showing my age, I get really curmudgeonly. Like, there are certain artists, Charlie Parr is one of my favorite artists, and he was coming through pretty regularly, and he would play at the filling station. And I, you know, he's the kind of artist that I really want to really listen to. Sometimes going to a bar is not conducive to listening, but
yes,
you know, there are other artists. It's like, no, you want the energy, you know, that's the energy, and the audience participation is as much a part of the concert as the music performance, almost.
Totally.
And for some acts. And so it's, yeah, I mean, not having that, the crowd getting, you know, getting pumped up and jumping around and everything, is sometimes that's kind of a, yeah, that leaves kind of a
a whole, especially when the music's asking for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Definitely there's, I love symphony music. I love jazz as well. And there's definitely certain circumstances where you would want people to just sit down and, you know, listen to what the artists are saying and very, you know, very introspective time. But yeah. Other than that, yeah, let her rip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wonder if you want to maybe do a couple more songs.
I'd love to.
All right.
Yeah, so let me actually play the single I just released. Yeah.
Cool.
This is called Lonely Too.
I don't like to talk this loud. When you turn away, sometimes I just say
2, 3, 4.
Baby, I don't know why you love me when I make it hard for you. Taking it in, I know I'm angry sometimes too. But when I see you alone, oh baby, I feel lonely too. I'll fall asleep and have a better day with you.
All right.
Write it out on the wall. Tell me what you need. I'll play ball. When the night turns to day, I'll be yours again.
Oh, again.
Baby, I don't know why you love me when I make it hard for you. Taking it in, I know I'm angry sometimes too. But when I see you alone, oh baby, I feel lonely too. I'll fall asleep and have a better day with you.
So much.
Just fresh off the press, huh?
Yes, yes, sir, yes, sir, yeah. Now it's circulating the interwebs.
Nice.
Yeah, let me play another one. This one, this one's a little more slow. It's this one's called Hold Me Down.
Oh. I used to walk around without a coat. It used to be like 20 degrees below. I never let these people know that I was cold down to the bone. I walked for miles and never took a breath. Maybe I was a little upset. You would be too if you were alone. And never had a fucking home to hold me down. I'm better than the others, better than the others. I used to fight outside of school and started drinking whiskey in my cool. Hold me down. I'm cooler than the others, cooler than the others. I used to grab a beer or two and skate around the city in my cool. I used to think about the time and day. Busy for me was sometimes okay. I wanna feel that so bad. To work all day and come home late, you'll see it show on my hands. 2, 3, 4, hold me down. I'm better than the others, better than the others. I used to fight outside of school and started drinking whiskey in my cool. Hold me down. I'm cooler than the others, cooler than the others. I used to grab a beer or two and skate around the city in my cool.
So much, thank you.
So one of the things Stephen and I were kind of pondering last week was you grew up here and then moved out to New York. How much do you think of an influence like that environment has on you, and the difference between the hustle and bustle there and the relative quiet and stuff here on your songwriting process and kind of the way that things turn out?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, New York was a great experience for a lot of reasons. It also was really horrible for certain periods of my life. And I think that can happen in any city, in any setting and stuff. But for me personally, I think New York's very susceptible to being lonely, I guess. And, you know, yeah, you're around, you know, millions and millions of people. And, you know, you're in, even, you know, in my apartment building, there's probably like 1,000 people in there. But at the same time, I didn't know any of them.
Right.
And they didn't know me. And it was very interesting. And it kind of makes you feel like you're invisible when you
see so many people every day, and then you know, you don't know them and they don't know you, and they're very, it's there, this very brick wall association sort of thing going on. But it was one of those things where when I moved out there, I realized that I really had to put on a shell, for better or for worse. I was at the time working in venues and such, and it could be a little brutal. You know, I feel like I was working some shifts that were really hard, like, you know, 7 to 4 in the morning,
yeah,
you know, 5 days, 6 days a week, with sometimes some gigs in the morning as well. But I think I learned how to quickly adapt to that kind of, I wouldn't say manipulation, but it's very like, you know, there's a lot of people that are there that want something from you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's very important to know what you're worth. So I think that was something I got from there very quickly. I'm like, this is what I'm worth. This is what I can offer. And that's that. So
yeah, it is. I mean, I grew up here in Montana in a small town and went to college here. And then I moved out to Buffalo, New York, which is, you know, quite a bit smaller than New York City, but still it was a culture shock. And just that realization that, there are a lot of people that are, yeah, they're trying to, one way or another, there are things that they want to get out of you and stuff. Yeah. It was an awakening, for
definitely
sure.
Definitely not a give and take, more of like a take and take.
Yeah, exactly. I hope you have a great performance out in New York. Hope the show goes well, and you know, hopefully you'll be here doing something in the not too distant future. Things are really interesting right now and not looking super promising, but hopefully we can kind of get through this and things will start lining out again here and venues will start get back up and running. And
yeah, I agree. And I would just say, you know, to whoever's listening to this, you know, it's important for you to go out and support anybody that's playing around. You know, it's less of whether you will like it and more of perpetuating more of that happening until it's something you do like.
Right.
And I think it's, especially in Bozeman, there are bands and there are great musicians, but I could see how it's very select. And I think that just going to see those bands that you might not know and might not be playing at the Rialto or the
right.
Elm or the Wilson, or, you know, they might be playing at the Hofbräu every night.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, so go see them, go see anybody else, go see me, go see Steven Stefan, chances are you're going to see more artists that are giving you what you want in the long run. So
yeah, you know, I think that's an important thing, that whole diversity thing, right? Take a chance and, you know, chances of actually being pleasantly surprised and finding
yes.
something really good are, they're really, pretty good.
Yep, you know? Yep. Yep, we yep. There's I know for myself, I try hard. So,
you know, there are a lot of fantastic musicians here. I think it's for the size of the town, it's really notable, I think. And so, you know, you're not, you know, if you go out and find somebody playing out around here, it's, you know, you're not hearing, like, it's not like me out there. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear somebody that's probably pretty good. And so, you know, I think that's important that people. You know, this has been something that I've noticed over the years, like the willingness of people to actually, like, get out and do things.
Yeah.
It's like, it seems like that's been kind of going away.
Yes. And,
you know, there's so much entertainment that your computer brings you.
Instant
but,
pleasure,
But man, I think people need to remember that it's important, you know, for all sorts of different reasons, personal reasons, health reasons, like mental health. And to keep the scene going, you know, it's like it doesn't sustain itself. People have to put something into it too. And
yeah.
So,
yeah,
yeah, it's, yeah, it's, I think that, you know, that, like I said, there's just so much great music here, and if people will take it upon themselves to, you know, roust themselves off the couch, they're, you know, chances of having a good time are pretty good. So
yeah, go have an experience, go get stuck in the rain and see your favorite show, and then have a moment with your friends, and
yeah.
You can't do that at home.
Exactly. Yeah,
watching YouTube. So
yeah, YouTube won't give you those magic life moments.
Yep.
Well, cool. Yeah, if you got it, maybe we've got time. If you got a couple more songs, we can.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, yeah, this one is this is called Time Flies. Hey, I'm so sad, so sad, drunk in my bed, my bed. Seems to feel like things could shrink and I won't care, I won't care. On days like these, I don't believe that things get better. Get better. And these days don't make me younger. You hate the way I stutter. I take back the shit you said when you don't know what it means. And I know you heard me crying when you fucked up my radio. I know it took a while before I knew it was time to go. And time does fly, it's okay. But your goodbye won't stay. Girl, you're so bad, so bad. Don't twist my head, my head. We make believe and think to think and don't even care. And we don't even care. I think you don't think I'm sweet, but things could always get better. Get better. And these days don't make me younger. You hate the way I stutter. I take back the shit you said when you don't know what it means. I know you heard me crying when you fucked up my radio. It took a while before I knew that it was time to go. And time does fly, it's okay. But your goodbye won't stay. Thank you.
Oh, that was nice.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And then I think I've got one more for you if you've got time for it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, this one is called Like This.
Much harder. I'm not afraid. yesterday, but it's okay. Do think about the time and feeling suffocated. Goodbye to everyone to make me shed a smile, 'cause it's fine, and I'm fine, and my sleep is boring, but I still don't know why I'm like this. But I'll take that our lives could be much harder, and I'm not afraid of yesterday, but it's okay. To think about that time and feeling suffocated. How I learn about me, just so I can be happy, just so I can be happy like this.
Thank you so much.
Nice. So down at Cactus, when you played there, you also played the drums with the Deadly Nightshades, right?
Yeah. That's my friend Ryan's band. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. I try and do as much as I can on the drums as well. I know. Unfortunately, a good friend of mine's band, Agnes Beef, they deformed.
Oh no!
No pun intended. But so I know Luke Sheeler. He asked me if I wanted to start something else with him on drums, and for the most part, usually I would say thank you, but no. A lot of times that's very time consuming, and but recently I've kind of been like it's important for me to still do that sort of drums, that's
yeah.
It's a good portion of my life, and I've loved playing with everyone, so I think personally I'd love to be more solid on the guitar. I think that's been a goal of mine, is to be able to pick it up and feel comfortable and stuff, so
yeah.
Definitely if you're out and about, you'll see me playing some jazz or some like I said, the Eagles have a great jazz band, and I sit in every once in a while, so
nice.
Well
cool, yeah, so people keep an eye out, maybe look up the new single, and you can find it on the streaming platforms, I'm sure.
Yeah if you're on Instagram, I'm not Dylan Thomas, or if you're on Facebook, the same thing. I've got LinkedIn if you wish. Instagram, Spotify, Apple Music, so no worries.
Cool. Hope you have a great trip to New York. Have a good show out there, and looking forward to seeing you here in the Bozone at a venue near us sometime
totally,
soon.
Totally, yes. Coming to a Bozone near you.
All right. Well, thanks for coming into the studio tonight and playing for us and talking music. Looking forward to doing it again sometime.
Thank you so much. Me too.
All right. You have been listening to the Local Musician Spotlight here on KGVM. We'll be back next Wednesday night to do it again. Keep it tuned here, and thanks for listening.